Lecture 2, The Election of 1860.
In our opening lecture last time, we took a comparative look at the North and South. In the late antebellum period, we looked at mileposts along the road to secession, key arguments relating to the issue of slavery in the late antebellum years. Today, we're going to shift forward and look at the presidential election of 1860, really the most momentous presidential election in United States history, an election around which more was at stake than at any other time in our national past. There will be four main parts to the lecture today. We'll start out by looking at John Brown's raid and its importance as one of the precipitants of the final phase of the secession crisis. We'll then move on to four nominating conventions in 1860. There were four candidates fielded in 1860 rather than the two or perhaps three that we're more generally used to. We'll then take a look at the progress of the campaign itself and then assess the results. But first, let's start in Harper's Ferry, Virginia, now West Virginia, for what was one of the opening scenes of the election of 1860 and of the entire crisis of 1860-1861. It's mid-October 1859. On the 16th of that month, John Brown and a small group of followers seized the federal arsenal there as part of a plan to gather slaves and move south through the mountains, deeper and deeper into Virginia and eventually beyond Virginia. John Brown's intention was to gather slaves to his army of liberation as he marched south, and in the end, he hoped to free all of the slaves in the entire South through one vast uprising that would begin there where the Shenandoah and Potomac rivers flow together at Harper's Ferry. But his plan went wrong very quickly. Robert E. Lee and a small group of Marines came out to Harper's Ferry from Washington. Brown and his followers barricaded themselves but were quickly subdued. A number of them killed, John Brown himself wounded. Brown was put on trial by the state of Virginia. He was found guilty of treason, and he was hanged. But it's the reaction to John Brown that is most important. He had comported himself with great dignity, both during the trial and as he went to the gallows. He handed one of his jailers a note near the end that said, "I, John Brown, am now quite certain that the crimes of this guilty land will never be purged away but with blood." Many people in the North praised Brown. Churches' bells pealed in his honor after his death. A number of newspapers praised him. And it seemed to many in the white South that a significant part of the North, if not most of the white North, actually approved of what John Brown had done. Now, that wasn't the case. A majority of the North almost certainly didn't approve of what John Brown had done, but there was enough of a mixed reaction to send tremors through the white South. This was the greatest nightmare of the white South. We talked about Nat Turner's rebellion last time. That was scary enough to white Southerners, the notion that a black man would lead Confederates in an effort to win their freedom through violence. But this was even worse, because this is a northern white man who's coming south and trying to incite what white Southerners would have considered servile insurrection. So it's a tremendous shock to the white South, a white South that could, in their nightmares, see a full-scale bloodbath all across their section, a bloodbath precipitated by white abolitionists from the North. Many white Southerners equated John Brown with abolitionists with Republicans, and Republicans with the whole North. A wave of near hysteria swept across many of the Southern states, the greatest since that had been triggered by Nat Turner's rebellion nearly three decades before. Militia companies drilled more regularly and more seriously. Volunteer military companies beefed up their numbers in the wake of John Brown. Support for secession mushroomed as one Southern Unionist, that is a man who valued the Union above section, sadly observed after John Brown's raid. He said, "This has wrought almost a complete revolution in the sentiments, thoughts, and hopes of the oldest and steadiest conservatives in the Southern states." And by conservatives, he meant people who were more devoted to the Union than to the idea of Southern rights.